There, now, we're coming to you live. From the Top Secret Broadcasting Bunker here at Area 52, this is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live with you today. This is the talk show Hell Hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. I have beliefs. I have very strong beliefs, opinions. Those beliefs are based upon what I see in the Word of God and what I see going on around me. If you have listened to me before, you know that I am a great big, huge, overweight advocate of looking at the old Bible with fresh eyes. Looking at this old King James Bible that everybody said, well, that's outdated. That's not really for us anymore. Nobody believes that stuff anymore. Go back and look at what everybody missed. Because there's stuff in this Bible that it's kind of like going through Denny's dumpster or something like that. I mean, there's all kinds of good stuff out there, all right? There are things in this Bible that even I, and I believe every word of it, there are things in here that I've read over and over, things that I have taught on, and in those same passages, I missed completely some things that I think are relevant. And I don't think it's by any great error of mine that I don't really believe this about this. I think it's just the times that we live in, we are seeing more and more and more of this Bible. Just, it's like 3D. It just, when you open the pages, like those pop-up books, you remember those? I always thought those were the coolest things in the world. You open a page and poof, there's the story right there in 3D. I think this Bible's 3D, 4D, however many Ds there are, that's what this Bible is. And when I open this thing up and the things that are in it are just coming out and they are alive and they are true in every way and in every sense. I believe in giants, dragons, and unicorns. I believe in them. I believe in them because they are mentioned in my Bible, and I believe in them in a literal fashion because Bible doctrine is based upon the literalness of giants, dragons, and unicorns. Say, what, where are you going? That's crazy. That's not true. Oh, yeah, it is. In the book of Hebrews, Paul was basing this concept of a continuing faith and salvation, and he based it upon the evil report that was brought to the Israelites in Numbers chapter 13. Those 10 spies came back, 10 of the 12. There's a picture of the law for you, 10 commandments. The law will tell you you cannot go into God's promised land. That's what the law will tell you. The law will say you can't go. So the 10 come back and they say the sons of Anak were there. They have great high walled villages. There's no way in the world we can breach them. There are giants everywhere. We were in their sight as grasshoppers, if that's a proper ratio. Those men were huge. And I just believe it. Why not? Why not believe it? Why not believe what it says? You go to Bible college and they'll tell you ways that you cannot believe the Bible. When you get out of Bible college and grow up, like I did, you just start believing it once again like you did when you were 10, 11, 12 years old. You just read it with ready eyes and you believed every word of it. So if there were not really giant, large, huge men who built huge walls, then Paul was wrong in the book of Hebrews, and his doctrine is based upon a myth. And you cannot portray a truth by teaching a myth. You cannot do that. I believe in dragons. I believe in leviathans. I believe leviathans swam underwater and breathed fire and smoke and steam out of their nose. Why do I believe that? Because the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, God is teaching Job about Behemoth and Leviathan, and he gives a very accurate description of Leviathan, right down to the scales that he has on his skin, the impenetrable scales that he has. And God doesn't describe it as, this is a myth. Remember this story that your dad told to scare you to make you go to sleep at night? Well, I made that up. That's not God. God said, consider Behemoth. Job, consider Leviathan. I made those two. I believe in dragons. I believe that dragons dwelt in lands all over this earth. You can look at every mythology or every story from every land. They all have dragon stories. But I also believe that Lucifer himself is a dragon. Why should I believe something else? I believe in unicorns. God equated his strength with the strength of unicorns. I don't believe they're little fairy dust horses that fly through the air and have this little curly Q horn on the front. I don't believe that. I believe that there is a spirit that is a unicorn, and it's a very powerful one, and it has this horn on. The horns are a symbol of power and strength and persuasion and get out of my way, Jack. That's what horns represent in the Bible, minus the word Jack, okay? But I also believe there is the archaeological evidence of an animal that roamed this earth, that was a huge woolly animal that had this massive horn coming out the top of his head. And you would look at that thing and you would go, if you need through here, I'll let you through. Don't touch me with that horn. And I believe these things. There are passages in Isaiah. There are passages in other places in the Bible that I've looked at and I've applied on a spiritual level. I did a Watchmen broadcast series. It's back in the old days when I did two-part series. Now I do like 25-part series. But I did this called Mystery Creatures of the Bible and Where Dragons Live. And if you have not seen those, I would encourage you to go see them, because I talk about these mystery creatures that are in the Bible. I believe in the literalness of the scriptures when I read it. I also believe in a spiritual understanding. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean philosophical, metaphorical. It's a thought in my mind, but that's as far as it goes. I mean spirits. There are dragon spirits. There are owl spirits. There are satyr spirits. There are behemoth spirits. There are leviathans and dragon spirits everywhere. I believe in these things. But something that, as I was reading in these various places in the Bible where it mentioned dragons, I wasn't seeing something. Until Tuesday night, I was at a basketball. There's a basketball tournament, high school basketball tournament going on. In Jefferson County, and me and Kat, we like to go to football and basketball games and just watch these boys just play their hearts out. I love that kind of competition. I love watching even teams that I'm not rooting for. I'm sitting there watching teams going, man, that is a good shit. Did you see what that guy did? I love doing that. But anyway, I just, in the intermission, I pulled up some email and the guy sent me an article and said, Pastor, you got to look at this. And my jaw dropped open. And so I'm going to cover that today, and get ready, because the very foundation of everything that you and I know in this world is going to be significantly altered and transformed. And I mean everything. Remember what Daniel foresaw about the beast, the Antichrist, that he will seek to change times and laws, and God will actually give them into his hand. Laws that are common laws, common sense laws, that are going to fundamentally be the idea that a child comes from a male and a female, that is just a common understanding, and it's a common law that's established in Genesis chapter 2. We already have the technology available to fundamentally do away with that law. It will be of no use whatsoever in the world that's coming 5, 10, 15 years from now. Because you will have babies being birthed into this world that have multiple genetic donors, not just a father and a mother. The common understanding and laws will just be disannulled. And I'm going to get more into that in a little bit. Changing times. And I'm not just talking about, well, the Sabbath is on Saturday, not Sunday, and the Catholic Church did this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actually changing time. We're headed in that direction. This is not science fiction. I'm not reading from H.G. Wells. I'm reading the news that's going on today. Let me just kind of start out with a little... just sort of a precursor. This goes into the gory category. This is how humans now think. In the world that we live in today, humans are thinking in this way. And I just had to throw this in here. There is a new practice, a new tattoo trend. And if you've not seen it, I did not see it until today, and I wish now that I had. You cannot unsee these things. It's called scarification, and I'm going to give you some high-tech graphics here. You see those? People will go and have carved into their skin the tattoos so that when these things heal, they scar over, and these people have these wounds and these scars as permanent features on their flesh. And you have to ask the question, who does this? Who is so weird to do this? Let me just kind of tell you the sense of what's going on. This is all part of body modification. And I'm just too conservative. I believe what the Bible says. I don't think you ought to go and have somebody print ink all over your skin. I don't believe in that. I think the book of Leviticus, I think is where it is. It's God said, not print any marks on your skin. No cuttings for the dead. Remember what the prophets of Baal did when they were trying to get fire to come down from heaven. They began to cut their flesh, okay? God said, don't do that. I guess I'm just not with the times anymore, because all over the place in America, one person after another in this generation, they're going to get tattooed. We're not talking about guys in the Navy anymore. We're talking about men, women, teenagers. Body modification, multiple piercings, now and tattooing, and now scarring. Permanent scars upon people's bodies to modify their bodies. I believe that it is a spirit that is at work right now. And that is a spirit that seeks to modify what it is that God has given us. And we're gonna deal with that here, and just get ready for. I'm gonna cue the music, bum bum, and it's gonna be played during this whole thing. All right, I want to. Let's get a couple verses. Let's get our bearings straight. Let's go to the bearing straight, and just some verses that I want to give to you. You people out there, for the most part, you're listening to me. And you are either now convinced, or you are in the process of being convinced, that this Bible is right in everything that it says. And it's been discarded, it's been cast away, it's been cut up, it's been edited, it's been augmented, talking about body modification. When you change Bibles in a church, you're changing what that body is. You are changing the very DNA that makes up that church. And I'm going to deal with that today, along with dragons. Can you imagine, and I mean dragons, literal, whatever they were in the Bible, living in the 21st century? Can you think that could happen? Isaiah 43:10, to those of you who are now in the process or are already there, of believing every word that came out of God's mouth, and that God speaks Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and then he interprets the language. 1 Corinthians 14, go read it. Here's what God says to us. You are my witnesses. This is Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. God is looking for people who will believe him, who will believe what he said, who believe what he wrote down, who believe that he inspired his word, that he preserved his word, that he translated his word. Why can't we believe that God translates Bibles? Why can't we believe that when the Holy Spirit gave translation of unknown tongues in the church? One, by the way, one translation allowed of unknown tongues. Only one. That's God's word. That's not me. That is what God said. And so anyway, he's looking for people who will be his witnesses, people who will believe and know him. And he said, and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed. Eat that, Joe Smith. Because Joe Smith teaches the Mormons that as man is, God once was, and God, Elohim, was made a God, I guess by another God. And it says right here that before him, there was no God formed. There was nothing. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange gods among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. God is looking for witnesses. God is looking for people who will testify and say, I believe what God said. Why don't you? Why can't I believe what God said? Isaiah 53, he says, who hath believed our report? And Isaiah 53 is about the crucifixion. Who will believe? God is looking for people who will believe him. God is looking in Isaiah 28 for people whom he can teach doctrine to. People that he can teach. Not a seminary, not a Bible college, but people that God can teach and give them understanding and knowledge and teach them doctrine. And wean them from the breast so they can eat the meat of the Word of God. God is looking for those kinds of people. In John chapter 2, let me get there. John, that's Luke. John, turn back. Here we go, almost there. John chapter 2, verse 22. He said, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And I'm going to put you to the test today. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe what it says? Not what somebody makes out of it, not what somebody characterizes it at, or what somebody tries to jam the word of God into their belief system, but do you believe the word of God? Do you believe it? Let's talk about modification. Freemasonry is all about modification. Their slogan is Freemasonry, making good men better. That's their slogan. Okay? I caught a picture. I had a guy driving me from Detroit, Michigan to Lansing, Michigan for the Club O Prophecy Tour several years ago. And I just happened to be speaking on Masonry. And we were on the interstate from Detroit to Lansing where I was going to be speaking. And there was a big billboard coming up. And I said, hey, I told the guy, I said, pull over for a minute. Stop. And he said, what? And I got out. And there was this humongous billboard put up there by the Michigan Masons. And it said, Masonry, live better. And I can't believe I just saw that. And I took a snapshot of it, and I've used it in several places. But Masonry is all about alteration or modification or rebuilding. Rebuilding a temple. And what do we know? What do we know for a fact from the Bible that the temple is? It is in the 46th book of your King James Bible, 1 Corinthians. It tells you, know ye not that your body is the temple of God? It is your body. Also in the 46th book, of the King James Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He talks extensively about what resurrection is all about. It's about the body and the seed that makes the body. And this number 46, you're actually looking at it. It's veiled. It's in secret. It's not obvious, but you're looking at it. You're looking at a representation of the two mystery objectives, or the mystery, you can call them denominations or whatever, but you're looking at Freemasonry divided in two rites, two rituals that actually work together for the same purpose, whether you're York Rite or Scottish Rite. It matters not. In the York Rite, there are 13 levels or 13 rituals, layers, I guess, or steps that you achieve to reach the pinnacle, the top. In the Scottish Rite, there are 33 of these. These two work together. When you add 33 to 13, you get a very simple number. You get the number 46. What is Masonry about? It is about making good men better. How do you do that? You rebuild the temple. And there is a secret about rebuilding that temple that has been lost, it's been hidden, it's buried, it's occulted, but it awaits a resurrection one of these days, just like Lazarus, just like Jesus was resurrected, just like you and I, our dead bodies will rise from the dead, and Christ shall rise first. This is what we believe. We also know of a beast that was and is not and shall be. We know a deadly wound is going to be healed. And that, I think, plays a part in all of this. But you're looking at the reshaping of the human body temple with this number 46. That's what this logo represents. Now, let's take it to the Bible. In fact, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 11, because there's more there in Genesis 11 that I'm going to draw attention to today. Genesis 11, you see the verses up on the screen, verse 3. These are the people. They've gathered in the valley of Shinar, or Sumeria. Who was it? One of these occult writers, Zechariah Sitchin or something like that. He claims that he has all these new revelations and new secrets from the ancient Sumerian manuscripts and so on, and the gods that they worshipped, and the Gilgamesh epic is all about Gilgamesh, who I think was a giant, and so on. But anyway, Genesis chapter 11, they're in the valley of Shinar, the plain of Shinar. This is where Babel is built. This is where Nimrod reigns, and you see him in Genesis chapter 10. And all of the people, they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And essentially what they're doing is that they're building something. They're putting something together, a temple, a city, and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. I mentioned this last night in the Wednesday night Bible study. We're talking about the new heaven and the new earth. God has a city called New Jerusalem, and it comes down from heaven to the earth. Man's reversal of that, or man's part of that, is man is trying to build a city on the earth that will reach into heaven. And it's basically, it's the universal choice that man has. Do you want to be part of man building his way to heaven, or do you want to be part of God bringing heaven down to us in the form of New Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth? I choose the latter. I choose to let God do the work. I can't do it. I don't want it done. I know the consequences. So I'm staying away from that. You see the graphic there of building DNA. I'm going to tell you what that's from here in just a small matter of time compared to eternity. All right. But I want you to continue looking in Genesis chapter 11. In verse 5, "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing, and I want you to get this, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have, watch this now, imagined to do. And I want to bring this body modification back into play here. Who imagines this stuff? Who sits and dreams this stuff up? Somebody does. Or maybe groups of people do. And then all of a sudden, other people see what other people are doing, and they say, ooh, I want that. I want something different for my body. I want it to change. I want it to be altered. I want to modify my body. And whether they invent the way themselves or they follow after those who invent ways, one way or the other, people are going to modify their bodies. And God said, now they've imagined this, and now they're all together and they speak the same language. There is still a common language that is among every human being on the earth. It is also a common language amongst every animal, every fish, every insect, every creeping thing on the earth. It is also a language that is common with all of the flowers, all of the trees, all of the apples and the pears and the bananas and the kumquats and cucumbers and everything else. It is a common language between them all. Can you guess, if I were to do this several times, could you guess what that common language is? It's the language of four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. And literally everything on this planet has that same language. It has the same, when you learn how to read human DNA, you can read cow DNA, piggy DNA, you can read flower DNA, you can read all of it. When you learn the language from one species, you can read it in all of the other species. And this is what man can do now. And God said, now that man has reached this point, he said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And I want you to kind of think about your imagination. Not too much. You're going to get yourself in trouble, all right? But I want you to think about the imagination of man and where it goes. And you have to ask the question, who dreams some of the stuff up that we're seeing in this world right now? There's a company called Berg. And I want you to notice their logo. It is the Vitruvian Man. And Da Vinci drew this, but I don't think he originated it. But it's the Vitruvian Man is more or less sort of the pinnacle of what mankind is trying to achieve. There's like a secret code here. And part of it is actually real simple. 1, 2, 3, 4... 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? He has another, sort of like another person here fused into him. 4 and 4 together, 8. The beast is the 8th and is of the 7, the Bible says in Revelation 17. But this company in particular, they use very, very, very powerful computers. Big data, they call it. This is from their website. Vertically integrated healthcare solutions. You know what vertical is? It's not horizontal. Horizontal integrated healthcare would be, let's copy what everybody else is doing. Let's just do what everybody else is doing and that'll be fine with us. That's not what that means. There's this vertical, which means we're not just going to copy what everybody else is doing. We're going to try to go up with it. Vertical. Which direction were they building the Tower of Babel? They were going up with it. That's what that means. And it says from big data to actionable data in human health. So they are using, IBM has a computer called Watson, and it's a supercomputer. It can do billions and billions and billions of calculations per second. And I was reading just something before I went online today. Watson has stored in its memory some 50 million different articles about health and diagnosis and disease and chemistry and genetics and everything like that, and it accumulates to itself some quarter of a million new articles, papers, academically peer-reviewed studies a day. 250,000 new articles coming in. And this computer then has a, they said that the computer, Watson, the one that played Jeopardy, remember that? That computer can successfully diagnose someone with lung cancer 90% of the time, wherein most doctors have about a 50% diagnosis rate. The computer, the artificial intelligence is actually doing better than the humans are who have worked in the field all of their life, simply by crunching the numbers and getting this raw data out. Now, there is, let me read this. This is from an article about computers in healthcare. The current intelligence explosion. I think I have an explosion. Hang on here. Where is it? Here we go. The current intelligence explosion is leading a medical revolution that is changing the healthcare landscape. Developments in technology are proving that the new medical instruments are big data and high-speed analytics. Let me tell you what that means. Big data is your Fitbit, your Apple Watch or your Samsung Watch, or any other thing that you use to measure your body with. Fitbit device, you put it, I think women are supposed to put it down in their blouse or whatever, but it measures their pulse, their breathing, their heart rate, and things like that. And that data doesn't just get stored inside that little Fitbit. It goes to a database. There is an outside source that is monitoring your activities, your health. It knows when you are sleeping. It knows when you're awake. It knows if you've been bad or good. How does it know that? Because there are certain things that we do where our heart rate increases. I'm not going to stop there. But you understand, right? All of that is taken in and analyzed. The things that we use every day, this technology of smartphones and tablets and computers and Windows 10 and all of this stuff, these are data collection machines. And they are, the internet is searching us now instead of the other way around. It knows where we've been. It knows who our friends are, who our mother and father is. It knows things about us, in some cases, that we don't even know ourselves. It knows. And they're taking all of this big data, and the gold mine of the 21st century right now is in information technology. Big data, high-speed analytics, artificial intelligence, robotics, 3D printing to help treat patients as the unique individuals that we all are. Notice the phrase, paradigm shift. This paradigm shift in healthcare is aiming to provide better diagnoses and also deliver personalized medical advice to assist both patients and doctors alike. These are further examples of evidence that illustrate how artificial intelligence can help make the human race, here it is, live longer rather than wipe them out. Advances in technology should not be feared, and it's time to comprehend just how it can be used for the greater good and is probably our best chance of finally beating nasty diseases such as the many forms of cancer that have baffled science for years. Now, what they're telling you is, this is an article of apology. It's not saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's not what the word apology means. Apologetics is proving your case. This is the proof of why we believe what we believe. That's what apologetics is. And this article is an apologetic for those who are advancing in 3D printing, like printing organs, genetic editing. We're going to talk about that. dragons. Okay? The use of artificial intelligence as opposed to the use of real intelligence. We're going to use computers. And this article is saying that the advances and the benefits of all this technology far outweigh the bad stuff that could happen, like you saw in all the movies. I disagree. I think man is putting all of his trust either in himself or this new God that he is making called artificial intelligence. He's putting his trust in that, and man is saying to himself, we can do this. We can cure cancer. We can cure Alzheimer's. We can cure diseases. We can do things in this world that we live in. We can do things now. Whatever we want to do, we can do them. If it comes to our mind, we can do it now. Genesis 11 is being acted out for real right now. Do you believe the Bible? You should. You should believe the Bible. Now, let me go to, I gotta do this before I get to the CRISPR thing. The CRISPR thing is really where I wanted to go today. Let's see, where is that article? Ah, here we go. Some of you sent me this already today. I saw it as soon as I came in today, and I thought this would be perfect to go along with it. I talked a couple of weeks ago in a PMO called Quantum Nexus. You'll find it on YouTube or Sermon Audio. The Quantum Nexus PMO program was all about the D-Wave computer, and the guy who was working with, who owned the company and was helping to build this quantum computer machine. And we talked all about that. I'm not going to really revisit how that works, but just to give you the overview, the quantum computer is able to tap into what they refer to as an alternate universe. For every quantum bit that the quantum computer has that it has access to, right now they're up to over 1,000 quantum bit D-Wave computer. The capacity that they have right now is 2,000, but they're only running at about a half of it, 1,000. For every quantum bit that D-Wave computer operates on, that is the exponential number of universes that our universe and an alternate universe cross paths. And instead of a computer being a zero and a one, a bit is on or a bit is off. In the quantum world, when you cross the nexus and get the two universes combined, like a square and a compass, when that let me show you, there's a picture in Freemasonry, there's more than one picture in Freemasonry about, here, let me show you this. See this pillar here and this pillar here? This is Jachin and this is Boaz. They were both 23 cubits tall. On Jachin, there is a globe of the earth. On Boaz, there's a globe of the heavens. Two universes that are combined and brought together by the royal arch of Freemasonry. They're bound together by the keystone. The keystone in Freemasonry represents the nexus of quantum computers. So all this is coming together now. It's all clicking now. That and, you know, what did Daniel mean when he said they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men? What was he talking about? How, you know, 100 years ago, nobody knew. Nobody could fathom what in the world was being spoken of here. What did they mingle themselves with the seed of men? What's that got to do with anything? It doesn't, probably doesn't really mean that anyway. Oh, yes, it does. It means it. And now we're living in a time right now where we can actually see it. We can understand it. We look at now the King James Bible and we say, wow, it was right all along. Why did I ever go off to these other translations? I guess because I was told that I would find better things there, or I would understand it better or whatever. Man, look at this King James. It says stuff in here that it's more right than anything else in the world. Let's look at the old Bible with fresh eyes, because we're going to see things. We're going to see things that everybody else is going to say, you're crazy. You know what? You are. What are you, one of these flat earth people? What is wrong with you? And you're just going to smile and say, in time, in time, we'll see who was right and we'll see who was wrong. And that's all you got to do. And just smile, open your Bible back up, read some more and say, you know what, God, I don't understand what that is right now, but I believe what you said. And I promise you, before we get out of here, we're going to see all of that come to light. And we're going to go, just like Peter on the day of Pentecost, this is that which was spoken by the prophet. So here's D-Wave. There was an article that came out, and it was talking about the D-Wave computer and a little bit about how it works and so on and what it can do. And the article, the basis of it was Google and NASA, they were collaborating on the D-Wave X2 quantum computer. And here's what they're saying about it. The quantum computer is 100 million times faster than a conventional computer. Now, as you probably know, couple months I switched computers for the Pastor Mike Online, and it had some sort of problem with it. I never did figure out what it was. We've tried to use it before and had the same problem. But I'm putting out all these high-end streams here over the internet and doing all this stuff and everything like that, and the computer couldn't keep up with it. So I had them custom built a computer that has 8 processing cores, and each one of those cores is running at about 3.5 to 4 gigahertz a second, all right, which is a pretty fast speed. So if you take that and multiply it by 8, I'm getting probably close to 30 gigabits a second out of all of the processors working all together. That's the architecture that they do now, all right? I was able to render a Pure Bible Study video in high definition. The Pure Bible Study was 40 minutes. I actually did this computer did the rendering in less than 30 minutes. And I'm just going, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty fast, faster than anything we've ever done. So I told Lindsay, who does the Watchmen and all that stuff, and I told her about it. She said, can I have one? So we got her one. But anyway, I want you to get this. This computer now has 8 processors that are working together to share the load of processing. My audio, video, all the graphics, little flames coming up over here and all that stuff, all has to be processed. It has to be converted. It has to be streamed out to you so you can see it. 8 processors are working together to give me about 30 gigahertz a second, 30,000 cycles of computations being done every second. Okay? The quantum computer operates not at 8 times what one processor can do. 100 million times. 100 million times faster than any computer that we have anywhere on the planet right now. With that kind of speed and that kind of power, imagine what you could do if you could think faster. All right? Imagine the lies you could come up with, okay? But imagine what we could do if we could think faster, if we could move faster, if we could run faster, if we could drive faster, if we could fly faster. Imagine what we would do things if we did them faster. Let me give you a comparison. Average speed limit in some of the smaller highways in America is 55 to 60 miles an hour, which means we can travel 55 miles in 1 hour. If I were to use that same ratio 100 million times, what does that give me? 550 million miles per hour. That's how fast. If I were to take my current speed and boost it up to how fast my wife drives, it would be 100 million times faster. So instead of it taking me an hour to drive 55 miles, I could cover 550 million miles in 1 hour. Let me give you a comparison. I looked this up before. The information may not be 100% accurate, but it kind of gives you an idea. They're talking about sending people to Mars. Mars, in its orbit, is farther at some times and closer at others. So they're thinking, okay, we can launch, and when Mars is at its closest point, we know that we can send something through space at such and such a speed. And so at that speed, we can be to Mars, which is some 200 some odd million miles away. We can send people to Mars in about 40 days, 39, 40, 41 days. You know, you got to throw in the bathroom breaks. Everybody's got to stop every 2 hours and go to the bathroom. All right. So then you get there, you're about 40, 45 days, somewhere around in there. At 550 million miles an hour, you could be to Mars and back and have time to eat a cheeseburger in less than an hour. 550 million miles an hour, you could be to Mars in about 30 minutes. That's the speed that these quantum computers are operating on right now, and nobody is saying, wow, let's scale that back and slow these things down. Nobody's saying that. Now that we've reached this point, we say, as a species, I want to go up one more. Information came out today about the richest men, I don't know if it's America or the world. Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon.com, worth almost $60 billion. That means he's got $60 billion worth of change in his pocket. If he wants to buy a hamburger for everybody on the planet, he just pulls out and reels it out there. Here you go. Here's a hamburger for everybody on the planet. He can do that. Some 60, 59 point something billion dollars he has. That's his net worth. You know what he's probably, and Mark Zuckerberg is second, some 50 some odd billion dollars. You know what these guys say to themselves? I think next year I'm gonna make less money. I'm gonna scale back. I'm just gonna pull back. I'm not gonna go in the office every day. I'm not gonna try to push Facebook any further. I'm not gonna try to sell more stuff on Amazon. I think I'm just gonna try to make less money next year. Nobody ever says that. Once we reach a point, we say we gotta go up one more. That's human nature. That's why you have a ladder in Freemasonry, or the steps of Freemasonry, because no one, when somebody goes into Freemasonry, they go through the first 3 degrees. No one, unless you're Reg Kelly, no one ever stops there unless you're Reg Kelly. Reg Kelly told, his testimony was that he was told, son, go join the Mason Lodge. So he went, and I'm not talking about something that happened to him yesterday, so don't write him letters. Back in the day, son, go join the lodge. So he went, and he signed up, and they brought him in. They blindfolded him, brought him in, said, now kneel down. He said all these words, got his sleeve rolled up, one sleeve rolled down, and all this stuff. And they took the blindfold off, and he was knelt before a man that they called Worshipful Master. And he said, Mike, I was lost, and I knew that wasn't right. And he said, I was out of there. So after the first 3 degrees, he walked out and he said, I'm done. He said, I'm going to go tell everybody what I saw in here. And he has. But most Masons don't stop at the third degree. They go to the fourth, and the 12th, and the 20th, and the 32nd. And if they can, the 33rd. In the York Rite, they try to get to the 13th. Either way, no one likes to stop where they are. They want to keep on going. And this is where we are going right now with all of our technology. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I spent some time with this in the last couple of days, understanding what CRISPR technology was all about. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard me mention it, all right? Maybe joke about it, but I wasn't really sure on how it worked. Once I understood it, cue the music. Because once I understood it, it made all the sense in the world now. This, I'm telling you, this Bible is right in everything that it says. If you want to keep reading all the old prophecy books and looking at all the old charts and, yeah, that's how it's going to be right here and this is going to do. If you want to do that, that's fine. I'd say just get your Bible out and read it and you'll see things in there that you never even heard of before. You're going to find things in that old King James Bible. There is a new edition of Curious. Here's the article. This is not the article that someone sent me. When I show it to you, the music will play, all right? A new edition of CRISPR promises to make gene therapy ready for human applications. Though much hyperbole has been used in connection with the gene editing technology CRISPR, ironically, it may not be nearly enough. It's difficult to overestimate the significance of a scientific innovation that augurs to fundamentally change what it means to be human. Are you listening to this? This is not a prediction. It's not a forecast. It's not Ray Kurzweil saying, I think by like 2045 we'll be immortal. This is not Ray Kurzweil. This is what the guys in the lab coats with the clipboards and the computer printouts, this is what they say is happening right now. Fundamentally change what it means to be human. For this reason, we at Extreme Tech have been keeping a close eye on developments connected with CRISPR, including a report last week from MIT Press that researchers at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, the McGovern Institute for Brain Research, had developed a way to significantly cut down on off-target editing errors when using this pioneer. I won't get into how all of that works or what all that means. But now that they have learned CRISPR and how it works, they're going to perfect it. Every time, every lab everywhere in the world is working on this technology, and they're going to make it better and better and better and more powerful and more easy and cheaper. Do you know what I paid in 1993 for my very first IBM PC with Windows 3.1 computer? It was a 25 megahertz processor with 2 megabytes of memory and an 85 megabyte hard drive and a VGA monitor that was about as big as a refrigerator and a dot matrix printer. Lisa and I shelled out about $1,400 for this Windows 3.1 computer back in 1993. And I spent probably about that much on this Dynamo computer that I'm sitting at right now. That has, I won't even guess at how much more it has than the one I bought back then. They're making hard drives bigger. They're actually making them in size bigger and in the amount of information they hold large. They're making them in size smaller and making them in how much information they hold larger. And they're doing it cheaper. Cheaper than they ever have. Processors are being turned out cheaper and cheaper all the time. These monitors and these printers and things like that. These inkjet printers. Every yard sale I ever go to has inkjet printers in them. People can't give them away. They're so cheap. That's what's happening with CRISPR technology. Once it's been established that it works and this is how it works, you've got people doing the innovations on it that are making it more powerful, more accurate, easier, and cheaper to do. And all of that is playing into what I'm going to show you today. This article, let me get to this here. Before diving into the science behind this new edition of CRISPR, let's summarize what's at stake. Imagine a world in which humans could see in four colors instead of three, red, green, and blue. You didn't know that, did you? We see in three colors, red, green, and blue. We live in three dimensions. Okay? Time is past, present, future for us. But imagine in a world where we can see four colors, and we can't even fathom what that fourth color is, can we? Imagine a world in which humans could see in four colors instead of three, could voluntarily turn off their sensations of pain, could feel rejuvenated after just 3 hours of sleep a night, possessed extraordinary capacities for oxygen-intensive endurance and activities, which means that you could run for greater distances faster and not breathe hard. Imagine that we humans had extra thick bones impervious to osteoporosis, or like Wolverine, steel bones. Is it possible? By the way, steel is iron, right? And Wolverine was, they took him and he had normal bones. Wolverine was a guy who was an X-Man who, if he got cut, he healed. If he cut his arm off, he grew another one instantly. He couldn't die. And then they augmented him to where he was now a fusion of flesh and iron. Where's my music? Right? While this may sound like a page out of X-Men, these are all traits contained within the storehouse of rare genetic mutations belonging to the human race. The potential of CRISPR is to make these rare genetic mutations almost as easy to transfer between humans as cutting and pasting text within Microsoft Word. You know what that is, don't you? When I use the Pure Bible Search software, what I do is in preparation for everything that I do, I pull up the software, I highlight the verse, I hit Control V, which is going to copy exactly what I want with the reference and everything like that. Then I go to my Word document or PowerPoint and I hit Control V again, which is paste, and it puts it there up on there. And that's how easy it is for me to put all these things together. God has made it easy for me. They are talking about being able to augment humans that easy. And if you don't believe it, fine. You sit there in the 20th century and you just imagine this all pretty world, because I'm telling you, this is where they're going. And it is an understatement to say that it's going to change everything. The very determinants of what it means to be human would be fundamentally altered. If given the option, who wouldn't elect to have stronger bones or see in four colors? And this is just the beginning. We haven't yet considered what strange traits might be added to the human race through the absorption of genes from other species, or the slightly less mundane prospect of completely eliminating many of the diseases that currently haunt us, such as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's man's disease. That's why he dies. Because he's a sinner. And man's going to try to escape that, and they're going to try to escape it without Christ. God won't have it. If you had access to a gene therapy that significantly reduced your risk of heart disease, or maybe you, or made you immune to HIV. Well, that's what we need, isn't it? That's what we need, a sodomite or a sexually fornicated disease that kills people. We need people immune to it so people could dilly and dally all they wanted to. See where it's going? See, this technology is actually going to enable humans to sin more and greater and go farther into his depravity than at any other time in history. And would you refuse it? That's what the article is asking. Let's see here. Let me make sure I didn't skip anything here. Yeah, here we go. While the head of the research team, Feng Zhang, cautions that this is not a silver bullet and more testing will need to be done before applying the new technology to humans, it's likely that other more ambitious and perhaps incautious scientists will see things differently. Chinese scientists have already demonstrated a willingness to go off reservation and experiment with CRISPR on human embryos, suggesting it won't be long before we see full-fledged human trials. Are you ready for that? Using the improved CRISPR toolbox. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I spent some time yesterday learning CRISPR, learning what it is. Now, if you read the Wikipedia article on CRISPR, you will go, I have no idea what I just read, and I'm never going to get that time back. That was a waste, okay? So what I did was I looked around for something like the Complete Idiot's Video Guide to CRISPR, okay? They actually found it. I think it was put out by MIT or somebody like that. But I watched this video, and what it did is it explained how the CRISPR system works and how it edits DNA. And once I watched the video, I just kind of paused for a little bit, and I just thought about it, thought of God's word, and I went and I made some notes, and I'm going, okay, I think I get this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some time, and I'm going to show you CRISPR, all right? I'm going to show it to you in sort of an easy fashion, all right? Here we go. Here is CRISPR technology. It goes all the way back to the mid-80s, and scientists, they were looking at the DNA. This is the early days of looking at DNA. And they were looking at the DNA of bacteria. And they noted that certain bacteria, they had DNA sequences that looked like they didn't do anything. In other words, the DNA is supposed to make proteins. You and I are made of lots and lots and lots and lots of proteins. That's why when we eat certain vegetables or most meat, we're eating a lot of protein, because muscle tissue and fat and things like that we eat from cows and pigs and bacon and everything else, that has a lot of protein. It's made of proteins. So the DNA that's in me and you right now, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it builds proteins, which makes skin and fingernails and snot and all of that other stuff that we have in our body. All right. They noticed that in this bacteria that there were strings of DNA they could identify. And they said, yeah, we see it in this bacteria. We see it in this bacteria over here. We don't know what it is because it doesn't make proteins. And so they were scratching their heads on why it was there. Finally, somebody, I don't know who it was, I don't know how they did it, but somebody who knew viruses looked at those genetic strings that were in the bacteria. And they compared them and they said, wait a minute. This virus kills this bacteria. And this bacteria has a copy of the DNA that's in that virus in its DNA. And so they went, why? Why does this bacteria, whose mortal enemy is this particular virus, and a virus, basically a virus, all a virus is a bundle of really bad DNA. That's what it is. Okay? It doesn't have arms and legs. It doesn't have a mouth. It is a bundle of DNA. All right? So they were asking, why does this bacteria have a picture of its enemy? And so, and then I just kind of put this together. Here is a bacteria. Okay? Here is a virus, and this virus kills this bacteria. So this bacteria has one big giant enemy, and it's this virus. Is there, follow me so far? I can't see you, so I'm just going to move on. It's this bacteria has a picture of what this virus looks like. Here's the Joker. And here's why. This is what the CRISPR technology is all about. Because the bacteria carried a copy of the bad virus DNA so it could recognize it and destroy it. It's sort of like when Ebola was put out. You've heard that on cop shows, right? We need to send out Ebola on this guy. You know what that means? Ebola is be on the lookout. And so cops, now they cops have these tablets, they have these laptops in their squad cars. They're getting pictures sent to them. They're getting license plates of stolen cars. They're saying, being on the lookout for such and such. That happens all the time. That's how they catch some of these bad guys, is they notice what they look like. They got a picture of them or whatever, and they send the picture out to these officers all over the state, and they're telling them, look for this guy. Look for this vehicle. Look for this car. It's red. It's a Ford truck. It's an F-150. A license plate number is this. It's being driven by this man here. He's a white male, 35 years old. Here's his picture. And the cops are going out everywhere And what are they doing? They got a picture of the bad guy, and they're looking for him. And that's what this virus code was doing in the bacteria. When the bacteria would then make a copy of that virus code, it would like a picture of the Joker. And then it would send it out looking for, guess who? So I got another graphic for you. Here is the bacteria right here. It has a copy of the virus DNA that can kill it. And so it sends a copy of that out, and it starts looking at these viruses. And it goes to this virus here. No, that's not the Joker. That's Bane. It goes over here. No, that's Catwoman. No, that's the Riddler. That's Mr. Freeze. That's Winston Churchill. Not really. That's the Joker. Okay? Or, excuse me, the Penguin. And then all of a sudden, this enzyme called Cas9. Okay? You don't have to remember that. But it sends out this enzyme with a copy of the picture of the Joker. And this enzyme, think of this enzyme as the police. It's got a copy of the picture of the bad virus, and it goes out looking for the bad virus. And when it finds it, it takes in this enzyme is like a chemical knife, like a pen knife or a pair of scissors. And when it finds the virus that has the Joker picture in it, the Joker DNA, it takes that enzyme and it attaches that strand of DNA to it and then cuts it in half so that it cannot duplicate itself and it can't live because it's been cut in pieces. Are you catching this? Let me explain this again. The bacteria will send out an enzyme called Cas9, C-A-S-9. I don't know what it stands for, but it acts like an identification system and a pair of scissors. Once it finds the virus that can kill it, this bacteria is in offensive mode. It's not waiting to get sick and attacked by the virus. It is going on the offense. It is going out and looking for this virus so it can kill it before it reaches it. And that's what the CRISPR system is all about. It sends out this little strand of DNA as a picture. Once it finds what it's looking for, it takes what it's looking for and it cuts it. And so the scientists knew about this for years. And then somebody using their imagination realized that maybe they could engineer this system to look for other genes in other cells instead of just viruses. That's what the CRISPR system is, and it's being perfected. I look at it like this. I thought of this verse, Job 19:2. How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with what? With words. Think about that. Cue the music. Wrong music. No, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one. Here we go. Ready? There we go. That's the music I wanted. Break me in pieces with words. Now think about this on a spiritual level, because all of this is spiritual, people. Every bit of this is in your Bible. Every detail of this is in your Bible. I've been reading you these verses about what Paul warned Timothy about. Watch out for Hymenaeus and Philetus. Why? Because their word will eat as doth a canker. What does that mean? 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications will corrupt good manners. What does that mean? It means that your kids can be reading the Bible on Sunday and have Jay-Z speaking to them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evening, because you don't go to church on Sunday night. Or they can have Katy Perry telling your daughters that it's okay to kiss a girl. And their words will actually cut and consume out the Word of God in their life. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. And that works in education, that works in religion, and it works in DNA. because the bacteria now is not just going after its enemy. We, the gods now, with the book in our hand, the DNA book in our hand, the CRISPR system is designed now to go, let's say, we talked about the pig the other day, the pig where they removed a certain protein that pig viruses that kill pigs live on. So they used the CRISPR system. They attached a copy of the bad DNA gene in pig's DNA that produces this certain protein that pig viruses need to live on. The idea is if the pigs don't produce the protein, then the virus that they catch cannot eat in that pig, and it cannot live, and it cannot make them sick. And now we've just saved millions and millions of dollars every year. So what they were able to do is they were able to engineer the CRISPR system using a bacteria, using the enzyme Cas9, which is a knife. They sent a picture of the gene that they were looking for. They inserted into a pig embryo's cell the Cas9 enzyme carrying a picture of the DNA that these are the droids we're looking for, and it goes through the DNA strand of that pig in that embryo, in that pig's embryo cell, looking for that little gene, that little sentence, that chapter and verse that makes what they don't want it to make anymore. When the enzyme finds it, it stops right there. And it cuts that out. And now it's gone. And now they can either just leave it like that, and the DNA will repair itself, but usually it'll make so many mistakes that it won't repair itself right, and it won't produce the protein anymore. Or they replace it with something else. Something they want to put in its place. And if you've heard me once, you'll hear me 1,000 times before we get out of this world. Jesus said, if any man shall cut out, take away from the words that are in this book, I will take out his name out of the book of life. If any man adds to the words that are in this book, I will add unto him the plagues. And I said it the other day. This pig makes a protein that these viruses live on. God is the one who wrote that pig DNA. God had a reason for that protein being in that pig. Why is it that we think that we have a right to take it out? Why do we think that? Take your Bible. Take your Bible. Let's see here. Let me make sure. Yeah, we're still good here. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 8. Take your Bible. Acts chapter 8. How are we doing on time? Well, I got to hurry. I got a lot to say, and I hope I'm explaining this in a way that you can understand. In Acts chapter 8, in the King James Bible, I should have said that at first. In the King James Bible, in Acts chapter 8, read verse 37 to yourself in your Bible. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Did you read that in your Bible? That's in the King James Bible. Go get an NIV or go to blueletterbible.org, pull up the NIV and look for Acts chapter 8, verse 37. You're not going to find it. You know what happened? Somebody took a knife and cut it out. They used a scissors and they cut out of some Greek manuscripts chapter 8, verse 37. Westcott and Hort decided that Acts chapter 8, verse 37, it's better if we take that verse out of the Bible, because it's that way in these manuscripts, in these three manuscripts that we have, that verse is missing. So we think it's better if we take it out of our Bibles. And so the NIV, the English Standard Version, the Message Bible, the Holman Standard Version, the New English Version, the New American Standard Bible, and every other new modern translation of the Bible eliminates Acts chapter 8, verse 37, along with 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Because it was missing in some manuscripts, Westcott and Hort, and now every other Bible scholar in the world, practically, not all of them, but most of them, say 1 John 5, 7 should not be in your Bible. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, should not be in your Bible. The two verses where Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. They said, we don't think that that should be in the Bible. We're going to take it out. Now we have better Bibles. See, that's what they told you. They told you that the new translations were going to be better Bibles. Because all of these things now that don't need to be in there, in fact, we think they're dangerous. We took them out. And they accused the King James of adding them in. Not true. So you understand now CRISPR, don't you? You understand the process. The process is, we're going to use this, we're going to take a picture of what we want out. And we're going to insert it into an embryo of a pig. And when it finds it, it's going to cut it out because we think it's bad. And we either going to just leave a hole there, or we're going to replace it with something else. That's what CRISPR is. That's how it works. Let me... you're going to like this one. Here we go. Cue the music. Hit the wrong button again. It is Solvay and Coagula. That's what it is. It is the process of alchemy. It is the idea that in order to make a better human, there are parts that we're going to have to cut out and dissolve and then rebuild it the way we want it. That is the spirit that is moving in genetic research right now. It is Baphomet. It is the idea that in order to make the new humans, in order to make the God humans that don't die, that can fly through the air, you don't think that's possible. We didn't think that any of this that we're seeing right now was possible 40, 50 years ago. Nobody would have thought of this. Nobody reading their Bible would have said, I bet they're going to alter the human genome. We weren't saying that then. And we were still believing the Bible. Now we know that they're doing it. And we're finding out it was in the Word of God all along. We've got to tear it down first. And that's what they're doing. We got to find the pig DNA. And we have to tear it down and we have to rebuild it the way we want it. And it's a spirit, people. I couldn't sleep last night. I had this going through my mind. I did. I had a hard time getting to sleep last night. Now let me show you how this works now. Okay? Here is the Word as it was given to us by God. Let me explain that in case you are listening to me for the very first time, which is possible. I don't think that I'm done trying to reach people. I don't think I am. I'm not greedy. I don't want popularity. I don't want fame. Saying the things that I say, I'm not going to get popular. I'm not going to get invited to some of the prophecy conferences anymore. But I want to reach people. Psalm 139. David, 3,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was talking about how he was made. And he had no idea about genetics, about 46 chromosomes. He had no idea about the DNA code and the four base pairs and the 22 amino acids. He had no concept of that whatsoever. And yet here he writes, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And David was describing, by way of the Holy Ghost, the genetic structure of every living thing on this planet. Is that their DNA is written just like a book. If it's flower, or if it's a tree, or if it's a pig, or a human, or a donkey, or a virus, it has the same structural language. Adenine hooks with thymine, guanine hooks with thymine, or cytosine, and that never changes. And the combination of those four base pairs joined together, these two rungs of sugar phosphate backbones, the combination of those actually spelled out letters, then words, then paragraphs, then the whole book itself. And David was writing that my DNA that makes all my members is actually a book. And if it's a book, then it had an author, and that author was God. So here is the analogy here. Here is the King James. This is what the Word of God says. The Word was God. The Jehovah's Witness cult were some of the first ones to really go after the augmentation of the Word of God, fueled by, no doubt, by Westcott and Hort. And so in their New World translation, they used their CRISPR editing system, and they went after the Word was God, because they don't believe that Jesus is capital G God. They don't believe that. They alter Jesus. They change who Jesus is in their Bible by the addition of one letter, the letter A in English. So their Bible says, New World Translation, in John 1:1, the Word was a God, little g. That's the CRISPR editing system. That's what's going on. Here's another one. The fourth, this is the King James. The fourth, this is Daniel 3:25. The fourth is like the Son of God. That is how God wanted it. This is the NIV. What man changed it to? A son of the gods. You see what they did? They took out the word the. The CRISPR editing system went over here to Daniel 3:25, used its pen knife, like Jehoiakim did, cut out the word the, and replaced it with the letter A. And then they took the word God in English, Mungu in Swahili, and they cut out that, took out the capital G, and they put in its place the little g with an S on the end of it, a son of the gods, or in Swahili, Mwana wa Miungu. Mungu is God, singular. Miungu, gods, plural. Here's your CRISPR editing system right here. So really, really, and if you've ever read, if you've ever sat down, people, those of you who mock me and who scorn me and laugh and call the King James people a cult, your disdain, listen, I know what it's like. I used to hate the King James people too. I hated their guts. I hated those people. I watched them weep in defense of their Bible, and I was laughing at them. Stupid people. King James only cult. I know exactly how you think. I used to think that way. And I hate who I used to be now. And you mock me, and you make fun of the King James people, and you call them cult, and you call them every name in the book. But I'm telling you, that Bible's right in everything that it says. It was preserved perfectly. It was translated perfectly by a perfect God, a perfect Holy Spirit. Man didn't like it. So man decided to edit it. And man found out just how easily now the Bible can be edited and reprinted. Because I want you to think about this. When the Revised Version came out, back in the, what was it, early 1900s, everybody hated it. This is not the Bible! And then the NIV came out, early 70s. And people were going, you know, that's not so bad. Then the new King James came out in 1980. And everybody's going, wow, yeah, this is like the King James. They just took out, listen to how they talk. They just cut out the these and thous. Why? Well, we don't think they are right. We don't think they're right. And then we get the Holman Standard, New American Standard. All these other new translations of the Bible. Now it's easier now to sell people a newer translation of the Bible that's easier for them to read, that has all these adjustments and changes in it. Even the NIV, compared from the early 70s version to today's NIV now, significantly different in that the today's New International Version, the one that's on the shelves in your bookstore right now, is the gender-neutered, gender-inclusive, I guess, Bible of the New Age. Because they found out it's easier now to change it, now that everybody accepts the change. See where we got to? It's easier to do it. It's easier to get away with it. It's cheaper now. Here's another example. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's what the Word of God says. Even the Luciferians know that that's his name. NIV says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star. We don't like Lucifer. We don't like that name. So let's cut it out and replace it with something that reminds us of Jesus Christ. Cue the music! Deuteronomy 8:3. I want you to look at these verses now with fresh eyes. Eyes that would take this and not just apply it to churches and spirituality, but actually apply it to life itself. Knowing that the Bible, with its Old and New Testaments being the sugar phosphate rungs of DNA, the framework of what the Bible is all about, joined together by four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Thymine's different than what you find in RNA, which is a single strand. In single strand, you have a, what is it called, uracil? And when RNA becomes DNA, two strand, it's changed to thymine. Something's different now. And that's what John is. John is different than the other three Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because they have the same storyline, same outline, some of the same words, everything like that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the same. John's different. Just like in DNA. And if you're hearing me for the first time, there's a video I did called Jesus Christ DNA in the Holy Bible. You got to go see it. I'm telling you, you got to go see this thing. Because you're going to see that the Bible, the way it is right now, Old and New Testament, joined together by four Gospels, same thing as DNA. And so, as we're reading these verses that we would apply to our Bible and what we believe in our doctrine and our spirituality and so on, now we apply them to DNA. Because DNA is a book, and it's got words in it. Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. If God thought that the word Lucifer should be there, he had a good reason why he put it there. And in man's attempt at taking it out and replacing it with something else, he does have a different Bible. There's no doubt. Even the copyright laws of America recognize that the NIV is now, it is copyrightable because it is significantly different than the King James, which has no copyright outside of the United Kingdom. God said his name is Lucifer. Leave that in there, because if you have that in there, you'll live. Man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Every word. And if you take one out, like here, or add one here, or take out Son of God and replace it with a son of the gods. If you do that, God says you won't live, because you have to have every word. You know what happens, don't you, when DNA is not copied correctly from one cell to the next to the new one? You get cancer. And if that DNA in that cancer cell is able to reproduce, it's hard to stop it. Their word doth eat as a canker, Paul said. And he meant what he said. He wasn't just explaining how different philosophies can ruin somebody's faith. He was also showing us how mankind is going to alter humanity's DNA. Their word, literally, will eat us to the canker. Let me go back to the pig embryo. Because when they found out that when they successfully altered the DNA in one cell of a pig embryo, that when that cell duplicated, the alteration was intact in that new cell. So when that pig is born, every cell in his body has that new DNA in it. When that pig breeds, and a lot of pig farmers, a lot of the professional ones, they don't normally breed their own pigs. They will buy seed from companies already altered for them. When those new piglets come out from the sow and the boar, those piglets will have that genetic alteration already built into them. So we're not just, listen to me, we're not just changing a species today. We're changing a species forever. And God said, you won't live. If you don't leave the DNA intact, you won't live. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh. That's what DNA does. It becomes flesh. The Word, look at this. The Word became flesh. Woo, look at that. I hit both of them at the same time. I shouldn't have done that. I meant this one. Yay! That Bible's right. The Word became flesh. That's what DNA does. It's a bundle of words that turns into living things. That's how it works in churches. That's how it works in a sinner's life. The Word comes in and we become alive, just like DNA does. And God said, if you've got every word, then you'll live. Just take one of them out. You think it does. See, you know what I heard? You know what I heard in Bible college, don't you? When I was having explained to me all of these variations in the Greek manuscripts, I was told over and over and over again, yes, there are omissions in some of the earlier manuscripts, some of the better manuscripts, and other things worded differently, but no significant doctrine is affected by that. I was told 100 times in my 3 years in Bible college that just because the new translations cut out, what is the NIV, 64,000 less words in it, that it doesn't affect any major doctrine. What do you consider major? And what doctrine is it that we should be able to find in the Bible that if we don't find it, what does that do for us? Like prayer and fasting. How will the new churches and the new church never seen a King James in their life, how will they know that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting? And you know what that is, don't you? That's devils. And if they can't get the devils to leave, they're dead already. They just don't know it yet. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications. Think of CRISPR, DNA editing system, corrupt good manners. Your DNA has good manners in it. It's got good stuff in it. It's what God intended for it to be. The CRISPR editing system seeks to input evil communications into your genetic structure. First Corinthians, remember, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians is the 46th book of the Bible. And it's full of your body being a temple, and it's full of genetic understanding. Look at this, 15:38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. God says they're not the same flesh. And now we're even looking at crossing species, crossing plants with animals. That's what we're looking into using CRISPR editing system. What time? I'm not even got into what I'm going to show you. Let me show you this. Geneticists are concerned transhumanists will use CRISPR on themselves. They should be concerned, because that's what's going to happen. CRISPR, the CRISPR editing system, it's like a cup of water. And I know this verse is in the Bible somewhere, and I couldn't find it. When you spill a cup of water on the ground, can you put the water back in the cup that you spilled? No. When you're getting in and out of your car, you're at McDonald's drive-thru and they hand you your soda, and you go to put your soda in the cup holder, and all of a sudden you drop it, it spills all over your car. Nobody at McDonald's ever says, you know, if you pick that up, you can put that right back in the cup. Because you... Now that we know, as a generation, now that we know how easy it is to edit DNA in an embryo. Now that we know how easy it is and cheap, it's becoming cheaper all the time, which means what? Not just a few very well-funded corporations or conglomerates in this world are going to be the only ones who have this technology. This cup has spilled all over the place. And the easier it becomes, and the more precise it comes, and the cheaper it becomes, more and more and more places around the world are going to do it. So let's say that the United States and England and Canada and Australia and Europe, the Union, let's say that they regulate the CRISPR system to death by imposing all these rules and what can and cannot be done. That won't stop China. China doesn't care what regulations go on in the United States. Remember, they're the ones sending us all their poisonous junk for the last 20 years. People dying everywhere because China doesn't have rules and standards on how they make stuff. China doesn't care. North Korea, Kim Jong-un would not care about U.S. regulations on editing genetics, altering the embryos of human beings. North Korea doesn't care. North Korea will do whatever North Korea wants to do. And where they're going to get the money from? They're going to get it from the UN and the United States and everywhere else. All they have to do is pretend like they're going to fire a missile on South Korea, and the whole world gives Kim Jong-un money to play. That's how it works. That's why he does all that stuff. Saudi Arabia, Iran, nations that hate other nations. Do you think that once they have scientists that know how to edit genes, do you think that they're going to play by the rules? This is where I'm going, people. I got to get to this. Look at here. Here's the article. Look at this. Cue the music. I'm going to ask you the question. Do you believe in giants and dragons and horns? If you do, when you read this article, you get it. You're going, yeah, they will. And this guy is being dead serious. He said the world's top geneticists are spending a vast majority of last week discussing how to keep new genetic editing tools from ultimately the human race. A noble goal, sure, but considerably less time has been spent discussing how genetically editing other species might change the idea of nature as we know it. And I don't know what came into this guy's mind when he wrote this article, but he says that somebody will use CRISPR to make a dragon. Do you believe now the Bible? He says, why should we not expect dwarf elephants, giant guinea pigs, tamed tigers? He said, or dare we wonder, the billionaire who decides to give his 12-year-old daughter a real unicorn for her birthday. They argue that such overlooked and frivolous uses of the gene editing technique could fall through regulatory cracks and may ultimately have a greater impact on our environment than human editing ever would. Already gene editing being used by an artist to create a green rabbit. Genetically modified glowfish can be purchased in most places in the United States. Startups are already advertising color chain flowers on Kickstarter. You know how they're doing it? They're using CRISPR to edit them. Basic physics will almost certainly combine with biological constraints to prevent the creation of flying dragons or fire-breathing dragons, but a very large reptile that looks at least somewhat like the European or Asian dragon, perhaps even with flappable wing, could be someone's target of opportunity. And let me show you this. Here is an article, June 11th, 2015, 75 million year old dinosaur blood and collagen discovered in fossil fragments. It's not really 75 million years old. That's how come they can still find collagen in dinosaur fossil fragments. Soft tissue. There is a list here. It was like when I printed it out, it was going to be like a 32-page document. I'm going, I don't have time for that. In 2013, a list of dinosaur soft tissue finds. They found soft tissue. You know what that means? It still has chunks of DNA in it. And what I believe is very simple. I believe that dinosaurs roamed the earth same time humans did. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what God was telling Job. And all these dragon stories, they're nothing more than, we call them dinosaurs now. Same reptilian creatures. You've seen Jurassic Park, Jurassic World. Have you seen that one? Because Jurassic Park actually works now, and they bring in all these people and making all this money. But they noticed that the attendance was going down the following year. The reason is people's already seen that dinosaur. So what, you know what they had to do? They had to come up with a bigger and badder dinosaur. And they invent this dinosaur that's got fragments of DNA that they took from all over the place and made this huge monster dinosaur that, of course, gets loose on the park and it eats people and it causes chaos and everybody's got to leave the island. There's running and screaming going on because they took and they used the CRISPR editing system and they made this really bad dinosaur. They made a dragon is what they did. Now, here's what I want to tell you. All these verses in the Bible that your old pastor didn't believe or doesn't believe now, the one that the Bible scholar ridicule, the ones that the new translations probably want to change, well, this really didn't mean dragon. It was probably a hippopotamus or something like that, crocodile. Okay? Now all of these verses, and even that's what I was getting at the beginning of the program. I was reading these verses and I was going, I do believe in dragons. I believe the devil's a dragon. I think this is a spiritual application, meaning spirits. I think this is how spirits work. I never dreamed that a perfect fulfillment of every word of the Bible could take place. And that there will come a time when dragons will roam the earth once again and live where people used to live. Isaiah 13, Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and animals shall dwell there, and satyrs. Satyrs. The common understanding of that is it's like a half-human, half-hairy creature. How could that be possible? It's possible right now. Right now, while the scientists are debating about how dangerous this editing technology can be, you and I probably, we won't be able to go into places that I believe right now are making half human, half wild, hairy beast creatures. You can call me insane. You can call me a fantasizer, whatever you want to. The problem is the scientists who are working with CRISPR, they know full well, they know for a fact that it's not only possible now, it's probable. Satyrs shall dance there, and wild beasts of the islands shall cry on their desolate and dragons in their pleasant palaces. It never occurred to me to think that God could literally say, in a certain place on this earth where people used to live in houses and palaces, dragons, literal dragons, large reptilian creatures, dinosaurs, could live there now. Never occurred to me. And when I read the article the other night, I went, my Bible's right. God foresaw this. God knew this was going to happen. God could see it before you and I could, and he wrote it down, and it was faithfully transmitted, and it was preserved, and we've been reading it now all of our lives, and we wasn't sure exactly what it meant. Until now. And he says, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged, people. Psalm 91:13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. See, I believe in lions, and I believe in adders. And now I believe in the reintroduction of dragons. Isaiah 34:13, thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and there shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. So you can go back to the Hebrew and rewrite that however you want to, or you can write a big long thesis on how it really means something else, or you can make a Watchmen video broadcast where it says, now this is spirits, like I did. See, this is what I mean by old Bible, new eyes. Because now I think it is absolutely 100% possible and maybe even probable that dragons are going to live in people's houses because they're going to figure out how. And by the way, the computer, the artificial intelligence technology, whatever man scratches his head and say, I guess we could make like a Saurus Rex or a Triceratops or a Stegosaurus or something, or a Plesiosaur or something. I guess we could, but man, sequencing that much DNA would take us like, I don't know, years. And then all of a sudden the guy goes, I just did it over here on my D-Wave tablet. I just sequenced the whole thing. We can actually 3D print the DNA structure by hand. We can actually make the whole 3 billion pieces of information that we need. All we need is an egg that's empty. And now one day the world is going to wake up to the reintroduction of dragons and dinosaurs and behemoths and unicorns and giants. Isaiah 35:7, and parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Jeremiah 9:11, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of God even told you where the dragons were going to live. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. And those, for those of you who are preterists or amillennial, or you're just having a problem with this, I'd ask you, if you believe that Jeremiah has already been fulfilled, show me where the dragons were. Show me where the dragons lived in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 10:22, behold, the noise of the brute has come. A brute is a beast. And a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. Jeremiah 49:33, and Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation forever. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. You believe the Bible? Malachi 1:3, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. And again, I it's easy now for me to see the spiritual application of this, how any place where the Bible, this is what I believe, any place where the Bible, the man of God, is not present, it's a desolate place, and spirits love to dwell in those places. That's easy to understand. That's what we see in nature. Any place, like over in Chernobyl, they won't let anybody live in Chernobyl ever again. Every now and then, they let people go in, scientists and things like that, and look around and see what's happened. And all of these animals now live in all of these buildings and houses that people used to live in. I mean, that's nature. That's what happens. And in your life, when there is an absence of the Word in your life, devils show up, and thorns and nettles and brambles, they all just grow automatically because the seed of them, it's already there, isn't it? But now, my goodness, did we just cross a line? Did we just spill water that we can't put back in the cup? I think we did. And I think somebody somewhere is going to use genetic altering ability to do very bad, nasty, evil things. God warned in Leviticus 26, if you'll not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, if your soul shall abhor my judgment, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you a terror and a consumption and the burning ague that shall consume eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Think of what Jesus taught in the parable of the seed and the sower. He said, the devil comes down to eat your seed up. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, that they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And then he said in verse 21, if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. He said he was going to send wild beasts in there. Who knows what those are going to be now? They could be your neighbor. They could be your politician, okay? Genetically modified Democrats. Leviticus 26:25, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered in the hand of the enemy. Think about what ISIS would do with genetic modification. Son of man, Ezekiel 14, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. And I'm going to move through this kind of fast, but the reason why God allows all this to happen is because people have turned away from God and put a false god, an idol, in their heart. So he said, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it and break the staff of the bread thereof. They're doing all this stuff with wheat, corn, and rice, and barley, and soybeans already, aren't they? Who says that when God sends a famine into the land that it had to be because there was no rain? Maybe it's because Monsanto just went one gene too much. And when they sowed all that seed, either nothing sprang up, or what did spring up was absolute poison, and nobody could eat it. He said, I'll send a famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, saith, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they shall spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. I wonder what kind of beast he was referring to. Noisome is what he said. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither their sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into the land, think of what could be, what kind of biological weapon could be made? Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments, think of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and pestilence to cut off from it man and beast, and all of these things. The sword, super soldiers. Army men that, by the way, here's one of the companies that's investing in CRISPR. Come on, cue the music. I got to read this. One of the pioneers of the CRISPR technique, Jennifer Doudna. She had a dream, people. Not make... She had, let me do something. I want to shut my timer off. Okay. She had a dream. She said, I had a dream recently, and in my dream, she mentioned the name of a leading scientific researcher, said, had come to see me and said, I have somebody very powerful with me who I want you to meet, and I want you to explain to him how this technology functions. So I said, sure, who is it? It was Adolf Hitler. I was really horrified, but when I went into the room and there was Hitler, he had a pig face and I could only see him from behind and he was taking notes and he wanted to understand the uses and implications of this amazing technology. And she said, I woke up in a cold sweat and that dream has haunted me from that day because suppose somebody like Hitler had access to this. We can only imagine the kind of horrible uses he could put it to. What was Hitler trying to do? Build the master race. I think somebody worse than Hitler already has this. You know what I think? I think that the spirits involved in these people who are coming up with these ways of cutting stuff out of God's book, DNA, I think those spirits gave her that dream. I have no doubt about it. I believe she dreamed it, and I believe that there was spirits involved in it. Let me show you this. Think about what could be done now. Think about the laws that would be of no effect. Right now, it's against the law in the state of Missouri to grow marijuana. The reason why is marijuana contains an oil, an enzyme called THC, and that's what makes people high. So if you grow marijuana in the state of Missouri has a law that says you cannot grow marijuana. Okay. So down in a laboratory down in, Medellin, Colombia, They used the CRISPR editing system to grow tomatoes that are full of THC. Those tomato seeds are then transported and sold on the black market all over the United States of America. And there isn't a thing that anybody can do about it because it is not illegal. It is not against a written law in the state of Missouri to grow tomatoes. And there's no way that the Missouri legislatures could keep up with the possible number of plants that could be grown legally in the state of Missouri that contain high concentrations of THC or whatever that hallucinogenic is in poppy. Growing legal plants in the state of Missouri that have been genetically altered to produce drugs that get you high. There's no law that could stop it. Developing soldiers that are hard to kill and have no fear. Beast soldiers. Soldiers that are not afraid to die on the battlefield. Soldiers whose bone density is nearly unbreakable. Soldiers who have the ability to either ignore pain or heal the pain. North Korea could very easily now build an army and win or that they fought. Human offspring with multiple genetic donors, birth certificates. This is the common law that I was talking about. There is a common law ideology that says a baby is born from a male and a female. Not anymore. That law now is obsolete. It has no application whatsoever because now it's possible to have a child who has six daddies, eight mothers, and a pet from somewhere. That's what's possible. We don't have laws on the books to accommodate things like this. Androgynous people, people who are male and female in the same body, transformed without surgery, genetically altered, so they transform into a male and a female. Sports stars genetically altering themselves. Right now, these sports stars that Barry Bonds, Mark, just drew a blank here, 70 home runs, Mark McGwire, cheated. Lance Armstrong, cheated. Took steroids, took things that enhanced their body that were illegal for them to take. Where'd they buy that stuff? Can't buy it in America. Go down to Mexico and buy that stuff. That's what I'm telling you. So what if America regulates the CRISPR editing system? So what? Somebody somewhere is going to make a super soldier or a sports star who could not only hit a baseball out of the park, he can hit it out of the state. Biological weapons affect one race and not another. ISIS, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Syria. All of these people genetically are from one primary. They have a racial distinction among them. They could very easily develop a biological weapon that could be carried by every Arab Muslim in the world. And it wouldn't hurt them. And everybody they got around died. That's not science fiction. That's not something the Pentagon sees coming in the next 100 years. I haven't even begun to fantasize about how bad world is going to be 10 years time. I cannot even begin to explain. I can't dream. I never saw the dragon thing coming. Never saw it. I never sat around. I'm going, I wonder if they're going to make dragons again. And that would fulfill Bible prophecy. I never dreamed of it until this guy wrote that article. When I saw it, in my mind, I went, I heard the music. People, you're going to need a shield of faith in the coming days. You're going to need it more than, number one, you AF. Number two, you're going to need it more than any previous generation of humans have ever needed it. You're going to need an absolute and a complete trust in every word of God, both in your Bible and in your genetics. Because I'm telling you, the Antichrist will be allowed to change laws and times. I have a bunch of articles I put on facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. Probably a dozen articles that came in and I put up there today. One of them is how quantum computers are actually joining into various time travel techniques. That's about as best as I can explain it. You don't want to believe that stuff? That's up to you. Again, you can live back in the days of AM radio and black and white TV if you want to. This is the 21st century. This is the age now at which knowledge is being increased, and I can't even keep up with it. Fresh eyes, same old Bible. Open it up. God is showing people stuff all over the place. That's what I love about ministry. That's what I love about how God is working in these last days. He's showing people. And I'm glad that He is, because God's people need to be aware and we need to know what's going on. Okay? Even if you didn't understand 20 words of what I said, what I'm telling you is this Bible's right. You should believe it. All right. God bless you. I love you. Watchman broadcast coming out again Sunday. Pray for us here at Bethel. Always pray for me. Okay? Pray for me. I need it. I need it. God does answer prayers. Chris Dotson in our church called just celebrating his wife, who he's always going to be in the hospital all the way through Christmas. They called him and said, come get her. If she rests at home for 2 weeks, she'll